Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm at SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can even call on the phone. Just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 and bring your Chrome browser. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my account there is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall. And if you want to follow my personal account is Paul Franz. That's PAULFRANZ. Yes, there is no T in Franz. You didn't know that if you're around here. And just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. And I have a tertiary account called Franz Games, which is for my business. If you want to follow me there, your choice. Pick one or pick them all. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. This week, a steady work on current projects, which continue to collect reports on the Gorn Master Starship book, Easy Piece Number 1, Merchants of the Federation, Easy Piece Number 2, and we have been hunting down details for Starfleet Index, which is Easy Piece Number 3. There's just some file translation problems were solved. They began to make serious progress on the Call to Arms Starfleet Book 2.0. And Gene finished a complete revision of GURPS Prime Directive Core Rulebook, but there's always a but, isn't there? But there's numerous checks, edits, and nitpicks to go before it is ready for Steve Jackson Games, because obviously since it's based on the GURPS engine, it must be okayed by Steve Jackson himself. Of course, Steve Cole himself was working on Capital Log number 54, which is interesting. Yeah, probably wrapping that stuff up. Also, Shapeways and, of course, the new Federation Corvette, and cleaning up hundreds of posts from the BBS and hopefully not getting distracted by new proposals. Steve Petrick was busy working on the SFB updates and also the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene, of course, completed the GURPS Prime Directive revision, did the hailing frequencies, managed, of course, Facebook, and posted a really wonderful recipe on chocolate pudding, how to make it from scratch. I definitely got to try it either this upcoming week or week after that. I got to try it very soon because that'd be cool. I like making things from scratch, especially when they're not too complicated. And like pancakes. Came back to the news, sorry. And she also proofread Communique number 164. Okay, moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, when it comes to the Sapphire Star Tournament number 1. Round 2 was completed. Unfortunately, round 3, there has been no progress on the games for that. They might have started to play, but I have not heard any news on the BBS. And I haven't been really keeping an eye on SFB Online to see if anyone's been doing anything there. Moving onward and forward to the library report, Frank has been very busy, and he's got some more ISCs done, leaving the completed conversion up to 2,505. Was yet to be converted down to 125. That gives a percent complete up to 75.23%. We're over 75%. Awesome. Can't wait. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one, the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it seems to be just me. I thought Barry was going to show up, but that seems not to be the case. I'm not sure what's going on. He hasn't texted me or anything like that, so I don't know what's happening there. Given that, what we're going to do is I'm going to pay attention to the Twit chats to make sure that in case there's some, sorry, not Twit, Twitch chat. Gotta get that right. And so if anyone wants to talk to me there, that's fine. I will be happy to respond. Obviously, we have TalkShoe also. I'm streaming there too. Stopped doing YouTube Live, and you know why, and that's just because of they got rid of Hangouts, and I haven't yet to figure out. At the moment, I think I've just given up on doing a YouTube Live stream, just switching over to Twitch, because I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure Dave might be able to verify this one, which is that you can actually listen to a Twitch TV stream without having an account. But I'm not sure about that. I'd have to check. But to be honest, you know, Twitch is kind of a, for us, it's kind of makes sense. You know, it's, we're a game, and it's, Twitch is for gamers, and, you know, we're on that board for that kind of thing. Obviously, it's also a podcast, and I know that there's actually other podcasts that do exactly the same thing. Daily Tech News Show. There's one from Justin R. Roberts called Politics, Politics, Politics that also does a Twitch stream. I think that's the only place he streams is Twitch, which makes sense. You know, they make it simple. I mean, it's because I have Legacy, which is TalkShoe, and I have the Future, which is probably Twitch. Okay. Dave's confirming that he can hear Twitch without an account, which is good. So I do put out a link both on many places from the discussion board on the Starfleet Games website to Twitter to the Discord server and also, of course, Facebook. So anyone who wants to join us can join us. The only thing about Facebook is that I got a notification from somebody a couple weeks ago that it seems that Facebook doesn't like me because I'm not paying them for advertising. So they want me to boost my people seeing my you know, the post I do, and it won't really show for people until the next day. Which case, at that time, you can watch the video, but you can't watch the full stream. So it is what it is. Yeah, but oh yeah, that's, of course. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Dave, and which is in Twitch, you actually have to have an account to actually chat on Twitch. So if you want to chat, you have to actually create an account. It's not that hard. You know, I know. It's another account. I don't remember if Twitch allows you to do a Google. that would be weird. You know, no, except you don't call without Thursday night football scores, which haven't they started preseason, Dave? You know, because if this preseason, then isn't there a reason why you're not telling me the football scores? Because isn't that your job? You know? You're slacking, man. You're slacking. So, given that Barry is not here, what we're going to do instead is... Now, I wanted to do a better thing with this because... Okay. They say preseasons aren't real games. So, okay. Point taken. Isn't real games aren't. I think you got it right the first time, Dave. Saying preseason aren't real games, or preseason games aren't real. Preseason games don't count. That's the best way to put it. But they're real games because Lord knows they play football and they. You know, obviously can get hurt and that kind of thing, but they don't count. That's the honest truth. But people get me distracted. I read through the rule books once, and that was to the Merchants of the Federation. But I will give not exactly a review of it. But my first feelings on it, because I think it's going to be pretty good. But one thing that's going, I just spent quite a bit of money because I really want to play test this thing. I truly, truly, truly do. I plunked down the money. I printed things, including the cards. And the cards I actually printed on cardstock. I didn't have them laminated because like that's going a little off the deep end in my mind. So I'm gonna do that. I got some. They have some counters that are included in the PDFs. I put some cardstock and I've cut out those counters. There's some other things, but I'm still discussing with ADB about to make sure I understand what pieces are actually pieces and so forth. But it looks pretty cool. The one thing I looked at and went, I'm not going to do that, which is they actually have money, you know, credits. And there's two ways of doing it, and they give you know, like $100, you know, 100 credits, 20 credits, 5 credits, and 1 credit. I'll get to something. There's one thing that annoys me a little bit with the rule book, which I'll get to in a bit. But I printed them out, and I'm not realizing I did one card copy of both the black and white, one card copy of the color, which is I'm not sure why they did a black and white and a color. Why you could have just printed the color in black and white. Not sure, but hey, dude, come on. I'm a Ravens fan. Now you're telling me Ravens are beating the Eagles? I'm up for it. But anyhow. But, you know, it is what it is. I was thinking about actually printing out some more of those, but in paper, and then cutting them up. Because cards, I think, it's going to be too thick. I think maybe printing out paper and have it like Monopoly money. Is the kind of form that you want. So I might just do that. The tough part about the only thing I don't like about that is the coins. The coins are also on that. And it's like coins, you don't, what you really want for the coins is you want the coins to be hard coins. You know, in that case, I'd want them on cardstock. I'd have to see if I can actually possibly do a little bit of editing, extracting the image for the coins, or trim it out, and then take those coins and make multiple copies within a single graphic. Print that out on cardstock. And then, so the coins are hard, but the problem is with the coins being hard is that now I have to cut each and every one of them. So I might not do that. What I probably will do is see if I can get some game pieces, some like tokens, some to represent like 1 credits, and then have a lot of the others, which is the, just the paper. So as I said, it's like Monopoly money where you guys know the Monopoly money, the feel of Monopoly money. So my guess is I might be printing out things a little bit heavier stock than that. I have to wait and see. I can see if they have anything a little bit lighter stock, because I think the lightest stock I can currently print at Staples is 24 pound, which is still pretty thick. If you know anything about paper, 24 pound stock is pretty hefty, you know, compared to like printer paper. And I don't have a printer at the moment, so Staples is it. But I think I can get them. If I go to the counter, I think I can get lighter pound stock. Maybe not, because it is a business. So I only have the heavier stock. Well, actually, I could. I'm going into work on Tuesday, so I might be able to print out a couple copies there too. You know, I can get much lighter stock there. I'll have to wait and see. Maybe I'll do that. That sounds like a good idea. But anyhow, talking about my adventures of creating Merchants of the Federation. I might actually continue on that thread. But in continuing with that thread, what I'm going to do is let's do this. Let's hide the sidebar for the moment. And I'm going to move this over here so that if perchance Dave or some other participant wants to chat, you can see that. Obviously, if you're chatting with me on Twitch, it won't be recorded on video. But I'm still paying attention to Twitch. And then obviously, if you watch the video on Twitch, you will see it. So, in that case, let me just show you. Okay, this here, this is the board game, the game board. Now they included a image, really high resolution image. This image isn't that high resolution because you look at this. See how it's really fuzzy, and which is fine. It really is. It's fine for a PDF to show, okay, this is what the board is going to look like. But they include a high-quality image. And I took that high-quality image, and I printed out, had them print out, a poster, basically, of 24 by 36 at Staples. Watch my cursor move. sorry, I'm getting goofy. But this is really, really good. Actually, let me see if I can. This is what you get when you buy the playtest kit, which is $3. See how much high resolution you can really see. You can blow this up and you can see a gorgeous, how beautiful it is, And I had that printed out. I originally was not going to spend the extra cost, which is like 10 bucks, actually 12, for lamination. But my daughter said, you really should laminate that because otherwise it's going to get dirty and it's not going to be really good. And I went, I sighed and I went, yeah, I was thinking about that before. Now you say it, I gotta do it because of, yeah, you're right. I'll get back to this board because I think I want to go through some of the mechanics of the game, which is quite cool. And this is one thing I'm hoping to do. Now, assuming I can enlist some people at the Gamers of Summer, which is not this weekend coming up in 2 days, it's in a week and a half. Also, if you are in the Harrisburg area, please feel free to come by on Saturday or on Sunday. I'm going to be there both days. I'm not going to be there Monday. Monday, as a rule, when it comes to Gamers of Summer, as a rule, I don't go on Mondays. I spend Mondays with my family because I don't want to spend the whole weekend with the convention. Though it's a lot of fun. And obviously, I know I can bring my family to it. At the moment, my family at this moment in time is basically my wife. My one daughter, I'm taking her back to Mansfield this weekend coming up. And then, of course, my other daughter, she's out of the house. She's actually living with her boyfriend in an apartment. And then, of course, we have my son, who lives in a group home. And we have nothing special for Labor Day weekend, so we're not going to be bringing him home for next weekend. Okay, so that's that. Okay, got this player age sheet. Sorry about that. I really got to fix that. And then have these, which are... you got the colonist cubes here. Now, this is one question I had for ADB, which was, are these things up here, which could kind of be a freaking pain in the butt if I have to cut these things out. I think I do have to cut them out, though. I think these are the what are called resource deposits. Those are the ones that you take, you cut these, I'd have to cut these out, mix them up, because at the beginning of the game, you have for each of the systems that are part of the map at that time, because depending upon, give me a sec here, guys, and I'll show it to you. There it is. Here's the map, and depending upon whether you're playing two-player, three-player, four or five, you will get so many of these will actually have resources. Yeah. So the number of resources, okay, random select for each of the starting systems. And these are the starting systems. And that's what you would play. So what you have to do is randomly place. Here's the beginning. You have to randomly place five resource deposits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In each of the systems. So in each one of those boxes, you put a resource deposit. Now, I'm not sure whether it is. It up. Whether this is the resource deposits or these are the resource deposits, because it's obvious that you have these precious metals, fuel, biomatter, or inhabited and resources. This is no resources. This is why I think that these little things are the resource deposits, because of it is possible when you randomly put down five of these resources that one of those planets in your system can have no resources. And if they have no resources, they have no resources. Versus if you look here on these squares, you don't have those. You don't have no resources or inhabited. And of course, then you have the colonist cubes. Because the colonist cubes, actually, you can, which represent colonists, and you can put them on your ships and ship them from like the Klingon star base. Let me do this. Oh, that was wrong. Right here? Up here. Got that right. This is the Federation starbase. This is the Klingon starbase, because the red, this all here, is Klingon space. All the red is Klingon space. And then, let me get this right. No, this is Klingon space. This is the outer systems. These are the outer systems. And then finally, these are the inner systems. And that makes a difference depending upon what you're doing. And obviously, they have on the board, you know, whether that same chart that you saw in the rule book, represented by this. You know, if it's two players, you go by what's in white. Then three players, you add what's in white with what's in yellow. And then, of course, the orange gets added for four players, and for five players, you add again what is in red. You got put down contracts here, and your encounters here. Do you have contract cards and you have economic cards? Sorry, encounter cards. Some of the counter cards interesting. I printed out the cards and put them on card stock. Here's the counters. Now, according to the rule book, there is only one CA and one D7 but there are planning for down here. No, it's not down here. It is It mentions explicitly about that. I don't see. This other thing might be kind of cool, which is getting some miniatures. I don't have time to buy miniatures and paint them because I paint really slowly because I have a week, and 2 days. And just to get them here would take me a huge bit of time. I'm just wondering if I can find it real quick. If I can't, I'm just going to let it skip. There it is. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Okay. The counters in this prototype PDF include 3 Federation and 3 Klingons. These will be utilized in future updates of the prototype, which is what this is. The playtest is considered the prototype. That's the quote in the rulebook. And there's these optional roles. These are kind of interesting. The special roles are kind of interesting. My assumption is that because they're in 4.0 in these optional roles section, that they're optional. I didn't go through them. I didn't go through them too much. And of course, there's different things you can do. You can bribe the Klingons. I don't think that's another optional map change for multiple players, and so forth. That was the one question was, okay, what's this? Make sure I got these right. I think I got it right. That these are the deposits. These are the counters which keep track. Of course, you got the counters here, and that this is my one confusion, which is, according to the rules, you have ships. Yeah, I think you put the ship. I'm not sure where they put ship counters. I honestly don't. Because of, according to the rules, I think you're basically supposed to keep track of the ship on the player aid sheet. But I don't see that the way you want to do it. Because of what I'm planning on doing is I have the ships on the board. That's the way I figure it gets played, is that the ships actually get on the board. And what's on those ships, what cargo you're carrying, will be basically you'll put it underneath the ship. This is what you do so that you can keep track of what's there in that ship. The only thing that you might track on the play aid, I'm not sure what you keep track on the play aid, because that was another question I had, which is according to the description for the play aid sheet. Because look at this play aid sheet, it is like most play aid sheets, it's an abbreviated version of the rules. It's just a little reminder in front of you. Say, okay, this is sequence of play. This is how it goes. Obviously, this might change in the future. It might be a smaller card and might just hit the most, things. So, might just get rid of this stuff and just have it so that's like this, and then contract phase, bum, bum, bum. Get rid of a lot of some of the detail from it. That might be the way it happens in the future. But more to the point, what I was getting at was here. According to the play aid sheet, the play aid sheet is, quote, each player aid sheet is used to show convenient rules. Okay, obviously that's true. That's what we just saw. To track turn income, which I can see that because of In the actual pieces, you've got these basically credits that are like Monopoly money. So I can see that. Yeah, okay. You can keep track of turn income right there. Actually, that's not your bank. I'm not sure if you keep track of your income. Whatever. And then it has 3 slots. I don't see any slots to track which ship bases are in use for each ship on the board. So the ships are supposed to be on the board, and then three slots to track which ship bases are in use for each ship on the board. It's like, okay, but I don't see any slots. You know, my guess at the moment is that I posted up on the discussion board going, okay, what's going on? Is the description wrong, or is the player aid sheet wrong? So I have to wait and see on the answer to that, of course. And then these are facility markers, which I found them out. Well, actually, I didn't realize these were actually pieces until I went on to Board Game Geek because of the discussion board topic has points to this, points to a link on Board Game Geek, which is interesting. I'm not sure why, but okay. They have a playtest version up on Board Game Geek, and there's a discussion there. I might actually have to visit that part of the site to keep track of both. I'll wait and see. At the moment, there wasn't that much traffic there, so I'm not too terribly concerned. But if, I think it's Jay. Check. Because it's A. It's A-K, not E-K. He's on there, and he said he'll stop in to the discussion board and keep an eye on things. But anyway, so what happened? But anyway, okay, let's go through the rules real quick. I still got half an hour, easily, if not more. Okay, obviously, each of these ships has different. We have your free trader, we've got your small freighter, you got your large freighter, and you've got your heavy class 4 trader. Now, obviously, free trader is the cheapest, then you go up standard, you know. Gets more and more expensive with the larger that you have a freighter. Now, each of the ships has action points. So, because what you do in a turn, let me actually a little bit farther, wrong direction, right here. Okay, at the start of each game turn, the token matching. Marking which player goes first is passed to the player on the left. Because what happens at the beginning of the game, you figure out maybe random dice. You have a round. Okay, you have like two players. Okay, 1 to 3, you get it. 4, 5, and 6, I get it. Something like along those lines. You could have dueling dice to see who's the first player. You know, I forget what they do in Puerto Rico, because they have the same. Puerto Rico has the same mechanic. In that, at the beginning of the game, you figure out who is. Who is it? I think what happens in that one is actually you choose everyone. You get these chits, which represent the resources for things on Puerto Rico. Then you everyone selects one, and the person who gets, I think, corn, they're the starting player. Basically, they get control of the player thing. Which means they go first for that round. And then you always, just like here, you pass it to the left so that the next turn, it's another player's gets to go first. Which I think is an interesting mechanic just for and make sure that the one player is not always the first player to do actions for that turn. So I think I like that mechanic. It's a really wonderful mechanic. Then what happens here is You have contract phase, which is here, but increased tension, blah, 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 a lot of these things. Now, the operation phase, each player begins with a starting player, who has that starting player thing, which that's one thing that they did not have as part of the product. I'll figure out some unique thing when I use it on playtest. Easy enough to do. I might just give because I've got some ships that miniatures. What I might do is just give the person who has it with maybe the Klingon or the Federation. I think the Federation one stands pretty well. Have the Federation. This is the person with the Federation miniature. They're the starting player. Proceed to the left and selects one of his ships and performs all action points of its ships, then selects another ship and then another until all his ships have taken all of their actions. Right. See, this is one of those questions I have, because what it sounds like, which is, it says each player begin with starting player and proceeding to the left, selects one ships of his ships and performs all actions of his action points. Then selects another ship and another until all his ships are taken for all their actions. Because to me, what that seems to say is that you, for each player, you basically go through. You select one ship, you do the actions for that ship, then you go for the next ship, next ship, next ship. After you're done with all your ships, then the next player gets to do that for his ships. And that's the way I see it. And they have two operations phases, which are exactly the same as pointed out here. Yes, the second phase is identical to the first. Just in case, which it's weird that he has to say that, but at the same time, you can understand why he has to say that, because of what you have to say that explicitly, because no, this is not an error that I have duplicated exactly what the first operations phase is. But I want to make, I'm probably going to ask a question about that. I just want to confirm with them that my understanding with it, which is that each player basically moves all his ships and does all the actions. Now, obviously, the whole idea is that in this case you at least select one ship and then you perform all the actions, whether that's moving is one action or picking up you can pick up like a resource, that's an action. You can pick up docking is one action. Picking up colonists is another action. For each colonist you pick up is one action, and then you can pick up resources at that place, and that you can pick as many resources you want, and that's all considered one action. Or you can drop off as many resources you want, and that's all considered one action. Pretty sure I got that right. I know the former is. I'm not sure about the latter, i.e. picking up, because I remember seeing that explicitly, and I'm not sure about the dropping off part, but I'm assuming that since you can pick up, you can drop off. That seems to make sense to me. Then you have restocked Starbase with colonists. Also, later on, what you can do is, then you refresh the contracts. Okay, then you have to draw the number. Okay, this is always interesting, which is you draw the number of cards equal to 2 plus the current number of players and place them in face up in the common area. Which, of course, is right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think you can think you do it right here. That doesn't make quite sense, does it? Because you need seven. And there's only six slots here. That's weird. Because I can see that being seven slots because of, okay, there's seven possible contracts. Because you have this is the deck of contracts, of Federation contracts. And then this is, I assume this is the colonists. These might be the colonist pool. And these are the resources? I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. And read it some more times. But, of course, okay, once the border was open, settlement, okay, boom, boom, okay. You'll restock the colonist cubes, as you saw before, to the appropriate number listed below. So two players, you have five colonists, for example. But the one thing, appropriate number listed below. For example, if there are two colonist cubes on the starbase already, during a three-player game, the player would restock the starbase to six colonists at this point. Basically, they just add the four so that it would have six colonists, not that it would add six colonists onto the two, which makes it eight. It would be only the six because you don't – basically, the whole idea is that you only have – don't need more colonists than, in this case, the starbase can hold or whatever. This is an interesting mechanic, which is the increased tension. When I read this part, which is when you increase the tension, this is the interesting part, which is, okay, 1 to 6, when your tension is 1 to 6, the next, to increase the tension, it goes for each turn, it increases by 1. When it reaches 7, then it increases by 2. When once it reaches 16, it increases by 3. Now, when the tension reaches 30, then during the operation round, it means that the game is nearly over. That means you go through one more turn. I have to make sure about what that means, because I know with Puerto Rico, what you would do is if you ran out of like colonists or is it victory points, what they're called? I think that might be victory points. But anyway, after you run out of some resource or some action occurs, what happens is that you then would go through you would finish up that turn, and at the end of that turn, the game's over. My understanding currently of this is that if it happens during that turn, you go through one more turn. But, again, it's one of the things I have to talk about and make sure I'm understanding this correctly. Now, the thing is about the tension is that I look at that and look, that's kind of crazy. Why you do that? Meaning, why even specify? Why don't you just have it so you have a certain number of turns? But one thing I realized when I first read that was, of course, the obvious, which I'm sure you saw it too, which is cards. The encounter cards can actually increase the tension or even decrease the tension. So that let's say that you're seven, you're starting the turn with a tension of seven. That goes up two, goes up to nine. Well, then a counter card, you get an encounter card and you do, and that will decrease tension. I forget if encounter cards can. Okay, these are the roll cards. These are the contract decks. Not sure why they have multiples at the moment, but I think it's one for each player. But these are some of the contracts. For example, basic contract to deliver one fuel to the Federation Starbase. So you have to pick up one fuel and drop it off. And then you get times two. Deliver for complex contract, I'm assuming that you can fulfill either contract and you're good. You can deliver two fuel. And the facility is the processor. it's plus 10. With that contract, you plus market is plus 3 fuel and minus 3 biomatter. Now, that's one thing I need to look at because of right here. This is the one things I didn't quite understand, which is here's the adjustment. Now, and then you have these, which is fuel goes up and down and so forth. And this is based on market prices. Now, I'm not quite sure what this means because it says fuel plus zero, plus one, plus, and depending upon this adjustment, it can be any of these. So it's like, what does that mean? because definitely the whole idea is the market prices can go up and down. And that's, that's just the way that the economy works. Including minus 5, actually multiplicative values here, which is weird. So I'm not quite sure on how much ore, biomatter, fuel, precious metals, how much those actually are worth. Because this doesn't have market prices. This seems to have market prices adjustments. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'm misreading this. Because in my mind, what you'd want is you have the market price, and then the market price can go up and down. It's based on adjustments, market pressures and things like that. Whether that's affected by the cards themselves, because say for that one card I saw, which is market, affects. This contract is fulfilled, and then the market will go because there's more fuel. The fuel is a plus 3, so there's more fuel available, which means possibly the market price goes down. And biomatter is minus 3, so this makes no sense. That's the one thing the market. I haven't quite figured that part out yet, but where was it? Because I said I'm sorry, but I've only read through the rules once, and this is the game end stuff. Just to let you have okay. Turn up once two rounds are completed. On the turn wrap-up phase begins. And at that point, then you have this. And then finally, the player credits. The whole idea is net. How much you sale price of all the player ships. Because if you noticed, on those ships that I showed you up here, right here. Each one of them costs, a free trader costs 10, but to sell it, you only get 5. A small freighter costs 25, you can sell it for 10. Large freighter, 50, sell for 25. And of course, heavy class, 100, sells for 50. Basically, approximately 50%. The only time it's worse is obviously for the standard for class freighter, which is interesting if you think about it. Now, and so the whole idea is that your ships are your value of a company. And then of course, $25, it says 20, I still haven't mentioned about that. 25 for each, build site occupied by one of the player's facilities, which is here. And they talk about, building up the facilities. And it took me a moment to actually understand this, to truly understand this, because of the colonists actually are, the colonization is here. And it's kind of a neat idea. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But if you notice that there's three spots for the colonists when it comes to colonization. Now, I'm not sure if you see it or not. That's good enough. You can see how this one here is 10, 15, 20. This one's 10, 15, 20. But this one is 5, 10, 15. The one that's closest, the ones that are, seem to be closest to the star base, i.e. the relatively protected worlds, it's 5, 5, 10. Now, when you drop off, when you colonize a system, you get money for dropping off the colonists. See, there's three cubes, as it points out here, becomes workers need to build a facility. There's also financial incentive for the Federation to undertake timely work required. Boom, boom. Each system has three colony sites. Boom, boom, boom. These are suitable for new settlements that are enough. Okay, blah, 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 blah. A ship may spend one action to deliver one cube. And since you can see, here's the crazy thing, is that you can, if you want to, in theory, if you don't want the money, my guess is that you could actually choose to do 10 and only get 10 credits for that colonist, because that's what you're putting the colonist cube down on. But of course, the whole idea is to get as much as possible so you get the highest value. So that'd be 20. And then okay, it's 15 and then 10. If you notice here, one of the things you can do is a free action. That means it doesn't require an action point. Is anytime you can actually eject your cargo. The whole idea there, of course, is it's a desperation move that you have no way of getting rid of your cargo. And it's because you want to pick up the cargo, because one thing about the resources is that you cannot deliver resources at the same place where they are picked up. Yeah, here it is. Resource cubes may never be delivered to a system that were produced in. A ship may pick up a new resource or colonist during the same action that is, it delivers a resource or a colonist. Please note that the starship can pick up as many colonist cubes as it can carry with a dock action at a starbase. But delivering colonist cubes, as discussed down here, it takes a little more effort, work to offload starships with colonists and make them comfortable in their new homes. So in one action, looks like you can pick up as many colonist cubes that you want, as many colonists as that your ship can hold. And you can hold one colonist per cargo. So that you can pick up, like in the case of the, let's go up here to the heavy, you have four cargo. That means you can pick up four colonists. If you pick up four colonists, then you can do that one time, but to drop them off will require a lot of actions. Yeah, this is a prototype. We provide printed counters. A full production box, again, will have small ships of some kind, perhaps metal, plastic, or metal, which will be interesting. Because that was the one thing they actually described early in the document, which is, of course, that a board game like this requires a lot of pieces. And this is why they're doing a play test at the moment, is that people, it's paper. You can print out or create or get items that you need. So, we get back to here. Yeah. Okay. Increased tension, obviously, standard tension here. Restock the Starbase. As pointed out, it's pretty simple. Refresh the contract, which is for the contracts that weren't picked up. Those, you know, then you have to draw a number of new cards equal to 2+. Okay. Let me look at this because if I recall correctly, I think player must discard extra. Hard limit for them is equal to number of ships plus 2. Players should shuffle the discard pile in the new deck when they're drawn out. Now, I don't see it, but I could have sworn I read it. No, I don't see it. And that is just by the wording of it, this, which is draw a number of new cards equal to 2+ the current number of players and place them in the face up in the common area. Which to me, what it means is that any contracts that weren't picked up, because obviously when you have new cards, 2+ the current number of players, because the assumption there in my mind is that the current number of players, which is players can be knocked out. That's when they say current number of players, you know, that's my assumption is that you can actually knock players out of the game. I'm not sure how you would do it. I don't see any place where that can actually occur. But whatever. But given that, for as Mark says, refresh and not the beginning part, what that means is that I'm pretty sure what you do is for any Federation contract cards that were not picked up for that turn, they get scooped up, they get put in the discard pile because nobody picked them up, and then you place down these new cards. I think that's one thing that was not mentioned in the rules. But that, to me, that is an assumption, because if you draw the number of cards equal to 2+ the current number of players and place them in the face up in the common area, if you keep that up, you're going to have more and more and more and more cards available. And I don't think that was the point. I think the point was to actually to have it so it just refreshes those contracts. And then, you know, as I said, you know, if there's a contract that doesn't get picked up because of that's a possibility, but those get tossed. But each player records the income produced by existing facilities. Obviously, the facilities that you've built. Each player, in order, the starting player proceeds and selects one. See this? Okay. Minor error there. Each player in the order, okay, starting, okay, proceeds to players left, selects one finishing contract card from those displayed on the table, and then draws the top, and then draws the top finishing contract card from the deck according to 237. And 237, right. Begin with the start, okay. Right. After a player picks up his or her card, that player must also draw one card from the Federation contract card pile, plus two more cards for each additional ship the player owns. Wow. Beyond the first. So if a player has a free trader and a large trader, he will pick up a Federation card and draw three more. From the contract draw pile. The cards that are drawn on the start of the turn are not picked, that are not, okay, and are not picked up, are placed in the discard pile. There it is. There's where it explicitly says, which is any players, any of the cards that are played out, shown face up, get discarded after everyone picks up their cards. The maintenance, each ship costs operation to do, it costs current market fuel cost, minimum of one. That's one thing. I'm looking here going, okay, before natural market adjustment, and then after, it's like, I don't see anything, any difference. That's one thing I have to look at this and reread this because I'm missing market price adjustments and what the market price is. Because here's the adjustments, but what's the market price? You know. So, but let's consider that the price on this turn was plus two. Looking at the market, we can see that if it falls in the plus zero category. Here, column on the market. This means that the price of the fuel is reasonable enough that the market would not try to correct itself. And then, of course, down here, once the Federation contract cards are revealed, players will make additional adjustments to the market and tension track based on new contract cards. At the bottom of each Federation contract card are the fluctuations in the current market, resource market, and tension track. Adjust the price marker on the market and tension track based on cards that were drawn, not the cards from the early turns. For example, if a contract card says plus two fuel and minus one tension, then the price of fuel will slide right two. Okay, and the tension will decrease by one. This step is in addition to 2 point, okay, the increased tension step, and of course the natural market adjustments. After resolving the adjustments on revealing the contract cards, all revealed contract cards can continue the game turn. So I think I understand this. Which is that once you once the contract will make additional adjustments based on the contracts that are drawn at the bottom of each, right? Okay, so do we? Okay, so do we adjust it when the cards are drawn or when the cards are completed? See, that's the one thing I have to figure out. Now, there's one thing I'm just gonna mention. I keep forgetting. Well, I don't want to mention I did, but I know I really want to mention at the same time, which is one thing that they did not do, which needs to be corrected in the rules. Is everything is dollars? I'll double check. I'm pretty sure there's no mention of it, because it's supposed to be credits. You know, that's Federation money is credits. And given that, I would think it would be like 1C or 5C, denoting that it's a credit instead of dollar, you know, the dollar sign. For all I know, in the future, when we go to, you know, credits versus dollars, you know, hey, all we know might be bitcoins. I doubt that. Oh, I really doubt that. But anyhow, The dollar symbol now will be considered credits, but I think it would be better not to do dollar signs because everyone's going to say dollars. Everyone's going to say dollars. That's why I'm thinking like saying 1C, 5C, and so forth. It's like saying for like Starfleet Warlord, you have 5EP, you know, EP. I usually pronounce EP. But that's economic points. It's how much it costs, you know, 5 EPs. They don't say $5 and then say, okay, the dollar sign, that means EPs. No. You know, so maybe it's easier when it comes to initially writing the rules, but in my mind, it's one of those entries should be changed to be $1 is now should be 1C, so 1 credit. But that's one of those things that I'll definitely point out when it comes to the play test. And obviously, as you can tell, there are some things that truly need to be worked on overall. You know, basically, you build up facilities. The way you build up a facility is that you need, for like a level one, you need 1 colonist cube, you need 1 resource, and you need, what's one thing? And I think you need an action. A valid facility is therefore okay. Facilities are divided up by resource type, further dividing into 3 levels. Level one represents the basic structure. Assemble, you know, shipboards come in, if a player has a valid construction resource deposit, can colonist cube 1 per level, and the appropriate finishing contract card, and a ship in the system to perform the work, then he or she can build a facility. When the player decides to build a facility, a finishing contract card with the matching facility they wish to build must be played and discarded. So, go back here. So, if you want a processor, you can, that's or resource center or a planetary dev center. I'm assuming that this is, since it's 3, it's a level 3, and this is level 2. Then you have your extractor, your facility, fabrication facility. I'm assuming since it's 2 boxes, it's level 2. And so forth. And I think, I'm wondering if that cost, that number there is the cost for building that facility. I think it is. Right, like here, processor 10. Right, so if Steve wanted to build a processor, he would need to ensure he had a finishing contract card with a processor on it, a valid build site, okay, no problem, and a colonist cube. Building the facility will use a planet's resource deposit and put the colonists to work. Level 3 is a little more complicated, which is described here. But anyhow, so the way the whole flow of this game goes is that, okay, you start the game. First, you figure out who's the starting player. Okay, that person gets the thing, whatever it is. And that player then will, for that turn, and only for that turn, will define the order for things. Now, okay. Start with the Federation contract phase. You increase tension. You need to then restock the colonists on the starbase. So you refill the stock, that you refresh the contract cards according to the rule, you know, which is, you know, the 2 plus the number of players. Number of players plus two. And then just the market price, natural price, and then just the market price intention according to that rule, which is from the Federation, once the from the Federation contract cards. Some questions about that. Because of, according to this, it's also based off of the cards drawn. Okay, let me look at this again. It says, okay, adjust them. Okay. About one contract card shows this. Okay. The market will decrease by one step. Okay, bum, bum. So in my mind, that means after that the cards are placed down, then you have to adjust market based on those cards that were just pulled, that were just were drawn. And each player, you know, of course, income produced, you know, for facilities if they have any, then you select your contract cards, both from the open ones, and then of course the ones that are drawn from the deck. And then you pay for maintenance costs for any ships that you have. You know, based on fuel costs with a minimum of one. And each player then just may discard any excess finished contract he does not think can fulfill or does not want to fulfill. So of all the cards, you can then chuck which ones you don't want to keep, which is an interesting dynamic in my mind. And each player then, in order, can buy or sell ships according to the rules. So you can then take your income and you can buy and sell ships. Well, you can sell ships to gain income based on the sell price, and then you can also buy ships. Now, if I recall correctly, let me bring it down here, because I'm pretty sure if you want to, you can sell a ship to a fellow player. The player may buy or sell ships. A player may buy a free trader standard, but please note that the class of four only becomes available once a colony, a civilian shipboard has been built by a player. So basically, you can't just buy a class four freighter. Another one is special rules. This is done by paying, taking a ship base from player stock, placing the appropriate ship marker on the player aid sheet. The new ship will appear at the star base for its use this turn, and will track using the ship base component. If a civilian shipyard is available, the new ship must be placed there instead. So instead of placing a ship on the star base, you would place it on the civilian shipyard. And each ship base, 1, 2, and 3, has a corresponding ship marker on the player aid sheet, which tracks its activations, and the player may never have more than three ships in service. Okay. Which is interesting. A player may also sell a ship at this time to the bank for a sell price, or another player for an agreed upon price. So that's one thing that definitely I've read about that's encouraged in the game, which is to actually negotiate when it comes to selling and other neat things. Go back to, right there. Okay. And then you go through and you do the actions for the operations phase. And let's make sure I get this all right. Let's go, let's bring up the player aid card. Dun, dun, there's that. There it is. Okay. Right. Now that ends the turn. Because after you do all this, then you do the operations to try to fulfill those Federation contract cards that you have. So let me look at this for a moment, which is these. Ah, there they are. Civilian shipyard. Has to be, it's a level 3. Now, one thing I've read about building facilities, and that is you cannot build a level 1 facility on top of another level 1 facility. You can. That's one thing. How do you track what level a facility is? That's the one thing that I didn't see. Because of. You've got. Okay, where are they? There they are. Here's the facilities. How do you tell the difference between a level 1 and a level 2 facility? Or what kind of facility it is? Because I think these are supposed to be the colors of the players. Maybe that's something that will change, which is that you'll have different colors for different kinds of facilities. Well, you'll have different silhouettes for different kinds of facilities. That might be something that gets changed. Because one thing you can do is if a player builds a level 1 facility someplace, you as another player can build on top of that player's facility, but you must pay for the building of the level 1 facility, basically pay him back for his expense, and then you can build your level 2 right on top of his. So it's kind of expensive, but it would work. There's some certain things that I don't quite understand about building, because my understanding is that these, where the resources are, that's where you build. I'm not sure if that is truly the case or not, because of where is it? Not establishing a colony. It is building a facility. Right. Facilities are built upon a valid build site. Essentially, there are workers, materials, and so forth, construction. A valid build site is therefore a location with a valid construction resource deposit. Colonist cubes, one per level, and an appropriate Federation contract card. So, is a location then a, I'm assuming at that point is that it is on one of these sites is where you're building it, where the resources are, would be. Okay, in this example, Steve wanted to build a resource center, a level 2 environmental facility. He has an appropriate Federation contract card, enough cash to pay for it. The ship carry out, and looking at the system, he has enough colonist cubes right here, and three valid planets, one, two, three. Which can be built, assuming 2 of the 5 are blank results. And either red or white deposit. The cash is paid, the ship action is used, and the Federation action card is discarded, spent and discarded. 2 colonist cubes and then put to work and remove. So these 2 get removed from here. And then, okay, if there's an existing fuel refinery that Steve could then choose to overbuild and use and build it with his resource center. So this is a resource center. So, okay. Right. So basically the, what it seems to be saying is that the facility gets actually placed on the resource and on a place where resources are. So if you have, as it points out, these two here, there's no resources, so you can't put the facility there. It has to be in one of these that has the resources. So, and the, you know, the resources get placed randomly at the beginning of the game. So overall, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I still need to work out all of the details overall to see how it all works. But I think that it will work just fine. You know, there's some questions that have to be ruled, that have to be clarified for me. And I want those clarified before I actually go and play test this thing next weekend, because also I'd like to actually play at least one or maybe two games, if nothing else, by myself. So that I can work through the rules, because I still remember, was it two gamers? Yeah. Actually, in my case, it's three gamers cons, but because I didn't go to the last one because of something else collided, I wasn't able to make it. One of the first ones in years that I was not able to make it. I wasn't able to go to Games of Winter this past winter because of something else collided on the same day. But all the rest, you know, I've been there. But anyway, doesn't matter. But the thing is, I talked to Barry. Barry went, "Oh yeah, you know, okay, you read up on the rules, and then we'll play after we're done with Galactic Imperium." That was not such a great idea. I pulled out the pieces, got everything organized, read the rules, started to really understand how the rules worked and how the game was played. Never played a game. Because of, if any of you have played Galactic Imperium, it takes 6 hours, or can take 6 hours to play Galactic Imperium. It's just like Titan. Titan can take easily 6 hours. Depends upon who's playing, how quickly they turn around. But also, this is, when it comes to Titan, it depends upon how the game goes. You can, in theory, you can eliminate your opponents real quick if you can get things right, and your opponents are more cautious than they need to be. You can just barrel over them and get things done in like 2 hours. So, anyhow, I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for this evening. I hope you enjoyed me going through Merchants of the Federation. What I'm hoping to do is maybe I'll give, I will hopefully learn to play the game. You'll actually go through maybe the game maybe once to get a better feel for it. Maybe I'll give you a quick update next week. But more importantly, one thing that did definitely also came this week is the Captain's Log number 54. I got it right. Oh, nope, I'm wrong. Number 53 came this week. So I got a little bit of reading to do. And I want to read through it and at the very least give you guys an idea of what's in there. And maybe review it a bit for you guys so that, you know, you know whether it's worth buying. Of course, I think most people, if they're really into SFB, they'll get the captain's log. And I know it's been a while since the last captain's log, and which means it could mean one of two things. Either you've given up and you're not going to buy it, or you really like SFB so much so that you want all every single bit of material that you can get. In this case, they have a whole it's obviously the scenario, and it's considered a historical story, for the universe. But you know that you go through, and obviously one thing I have not looked at yet is I haven't looked at the scenario, because invariably when it comes to the stories, they're going to have a scenario. Now they're going to say, okay, here's the historical outcome of this scenario, but of course it's a scenario, which means that outcome could easily change. You know, wow. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.